Chapter 10, Malaysia. Coming straight from busy India, my body thanked me for taking a break and sunk into a deep state of relaxation as I leaned back on the boat, closed my eyes and let the sun hit my face. I spent 3 days on the island without doing much. Most of the time, I hung out with three Brits on the beach whom I had shared a taxi with from the airport, or lay in a hammock with a view over the sea and read a book. It was really nice to forget about jiu-jitsu for a few days and just recharge my batteries in the sun. My knee agreed. The waves picked up one of the days, and I rented a bodyboard to try it out. It was difficult, and the current was really strong. When I later lay on my towel on the beach, I saw someone getting pulled out to sea and saved by locals who swam out after him. In the evening, I was sitting on the beach in one of the two bars on the island, and I met the local lifeguard. He was a short, skinny Rastafarian guy who had lived his entire life on the island. He had 19-year-old thick, heavy dreadlocks all the way down to his butt. If I wasn't in Asia, I would think he was from Jamaica. They looked like an impractical accessory for being a lifeguard and having to jump in the water every day. He blew out the smoke from his joint and told me about how stupid people were panicking in the currents instead of just floating and waiting for the sea to take them back to shore again. He painted with his finger in the sand how the waves and currents worked. I never knew anything about that and found it quite interesting. Being in the ocean had always scared me, and with an idea in the back of my mind of trying to serve some time on the trip, I thought I'd better learn as much about this stuff as possible. Drying the dreadlocks took a whole day, so if someone was calling for help, he would first shout to them to relax or swim parallel to the beach. Only if they started swallowing water would he bother jumping in and saving them. I was glad I hadn't been sucked out earlier that day on my bodyboard. The waves were still high in the evening when we were sitting on the beach and looking at the stars. One guy told me that it was usually calm, but since the Tohoku earthquake in Japan, the most powerful known to have ever hit the country, there have been abnormally large waves coming in. Japan. I still had half an appointment with my old friend Ryan to visit him there, but the natural disaster had probably put a stop to that. I reminded myself to check out the news to see how everything was looking. After a 3-day break in paradise, I packed up my backpack and headed back with the boat. It was a great feeling to have gone somewhere unplanned. I had feared ending up being alone there, but that had far from being the case, and I gained a few points in social confidence. Back on the mainland, I didn't think twice about asking people at the harbor to share a taxi to the airport, and ended up with an American guy in a very old wrecked car. Both our flights were 3 hours delayed, and we spent the time playing on his guitar in the airport, together with a guy that looked and played like he could be some sort of Asian Jump on Joey. It was late when I arrived in Kuching Airport in Borneo, and the humidity hit me as soon as I stepped out of the building. Albert had emailed me many months earlier about his little gym there, and now I was standing alone in a parking lot on a late evening in Borneo, trying to guess what he looked like. The white t-shirt with blue Southeast Asia BJJ print on it blew his cover. He took me out to get some food in an outdoor market and then to a small hotel where he had booked a room for me. A big, nice king-size bed, bathroom, and a TV all to myself. After sleeping in a falling-apart $5-a-night bungalow on the island, a real hotel room with a real bed felt like heaven. I couldn't wait to get a full night's sleep and be rested for the training next day. It turned out to be one of the worst nights of my trip. I woke up 2 hours after falling asleep, feeling dizzy and nauseous. I could feel the grease of the barbecue sauce as a lump in my throat, and my stomach was turning. When I left for the trip, there were a few things that I was mentally prepared to happen. I assumed that I would most likely get robbed, sick, lost, and get in a fight. So getting sick from food poisoning did not come as a surprise. However, it didn't make it any more fun. A lot of people before and during the trip had been talking about how I would most likely get food poisoning in India or Turkey. In fact, everyone I had talked to who had been to India had gotten sick there. I went straight through those places with not a single problem, eating only local food and gaining a lot of confidence in my hardcore stomachs game. Getting through India felt like an accomplishment. I had just proved that it was possible and I didn't have to be afraid of street food. One day out of India and hell broke loose. It was horrible to be alone that night, feeling so bad. I missed my girlfriend and my own bed. Everything seemed to make me feel bad. The mess of my backpack caused my brain to overflow with stress. Just grabbing the water bottle on the table next to the bed felt like an impossible task. The whole room was spinning and I had to run to the toilet again and again. Deep inside, I knew that it would pass and I would enjoy being on the road again, but at that point, for the first time, I really wished I was just at home. After a long and tough night, I felt a bit better the next morning as Albert picked me up. The nausea had almost passed, but my stomach was still rumbling. His gym was beautiful. Big windows from floor to ceiling surrounded a large matted area. The windows stood wide open, and the warm tropical air flowed through the room. Being on the second floor, the top of lush tropical trees and blue sky dominated the view from the mats where people rolled. I weighed myself on the scale. Only 77 kilos, and I had just drunk 4 liters of water. The food poisoning was hard in my body. Training was difficult. My brain was working in slow motion, and I was catching my breath every time I had been demonstrating a move that normally would demand no effort. I felt dizzy and had to run to the toilet every 15 minutes. It was a small group of guys who all seemed dedicated to learn jiu-jitsu. Albert was the only blue belt, everyone else wore a white belt around their waist. I only had energy from one round of rolling and went with Ivan, originally from Hungary but who was now teaching English in Borneo. He'd been a white belt for 3 years and his game was solid. Everyone else in the room had stopped to watch the roll, and as we finished off the round, they all clapped. I did my best to hold everything in and not run to the bathroom till at least a few seconds after they stopped clapping. It would have been a weird scene to run out there while being applauded. I bought some food in a small supermarket on the way back to the hotel. I was looking forward to relaxing and feeling a little better. I lay down on the bed, turned on the TV, and unwrapped the chicken sandwich I had bought for myself. My stomach was empty and my body felt drained from having been so sick. I took a bite and immediately felt my stomach turn. It was the same sauce as the hot wings that had made me sick. I spat it out, emptied the bottle of juice in a few seconds, and in desperation, filled my mouth with a whole pack of chewing gum in an attempt to press the reset button on my taste buds. I gave up on the cozy evening I had hoped for and, disheartened, decided just to go to sleep instead. We're going on a kayak tour the next day, Albert and I. I packed a lot of diarrhea pills. Despite it having rained a lot the night before, the weather was perfect that morning. The sky was a bright blue and not a single gust of wind could be felt. We had two kayaks, one for me and Albert and one for the guide. We were the only ones doing the trip that day and it felt like we had the whole jungle to ourselves. We paddled out in the shallow, quiet river, the kayak floating slowly through the water. The rain from the night before had upped the flow of water just perfectly, so most of the time we didn't even have to paddle, but just sit and steer. It felt like the river took us on a guided tour through the dense jungle. There were rustling sounds from the trees around us, but I couldn't see any animals. I'm sure they were watching us closely, though. Sometimes Albert and I talked about life, training, and traveling. Other times we were quiet for what seemed like an hour, just taking in the impressions around us and the loud silence of nature. I stopped paddling and leaned back, almost lying down. I looked up at the trees above my head that moved past me quietly. There wasn't a single human-made sound around us, and I felt at one with nature. I let go of the past and the future and found myself lost in the moment. It took an effort to understand that I was actually sailing on a river in Borneo's jungle at that very moment. My idea of traveling and seeing, experiencing, touching, smelling the world at first row was happening right there. In a parallel universe, another version of myself that hadn't made the brave decision to break out and travel the world was waiting for the train on his way to work on a cold, gray, and rainy April morning. Training was much better that evening. I was teaching a class again and only had to run to the bathroom every half hour at that point. The nausea was almost gone, but I was still low on energy. Finally, I got to roll with Albert. He had a great game for a blue belt, very fluid and technical. With his smaller size and my food poisoning, we were almost equals on the mat. Rolling with constant focus on whether or not I had to run to the bathroom was difficult, but I was desperate to do something, and with such a short time for my visit, I didn't want to sit on the sideline watching. Everyone in the little gym was always laughing and joking, and it seemed like they were such good friends. It reminded me of my friends in my gym at home. I missed hanging out with them every day like these guys did. I was left hanging out with new friends every week instead of the old ones. Both were good, but I was also looking forward to be back home on my own mats. I would have to wait a few more months. The effect of the pills I had taken for the jungle trip was really wearing out, and my evening at the hotel became more desperate than I had hoped for. I really wanted it to be over, but it seemed like the diarrhea had picked up and became worse than ever. Luckily, I wasn't nauseous or throwing up any longer, but sitting in the toilet that evening had to be on my top three list of most intense defecation experiences of my life. Number one was in Jamaica, hands down. After a two-week trip with my friend in Mexico in 2008, he was going home and I was going to New York to train for 10 days. A few days before we had to split ways, I was looking at the weather forecast from Manhattan. It was 12 degrees Celsius and raining every day. Going home to the beginning of a Scandinavian winter didn't sound very appealing, so to much despair of my bank account, I made a quick decision to visit Cuba and Jamaica instead. I spent Halloween in Havana with two Norwegian guys, as probably the only ones celebrating it, even dressed up as Cubans with hats, cigars, mojitos, and the works. Then a week alone in a small hut on the edge of a cliff in the Jamaican jungle. It was built from bamboo sticks, had an outdoor bathtub right next to a 30-meter straight drop off the cliff to the ocean. An outdoor bathroom was complete with shower, sink, and a toilet, but no roof. The door was a blanket, and it took a few days to get accustomed to the sounds of the jungle in the night, but after that, I felt completely at home and slept like a baby. In the mornings, I sat naked in the bathtub, looking at the sunrise in the horizon over the sea. Making a spontaneous decision to spend a week there instead of rainy Manhattan was one of the best things I'd ever done to myself, and it was the first baby steps I made towards being comfortable in non-planned travels. It just made sense to do it. One night, it had been raining quite a bit when I went to bed. In the middle of the night, it had turned into a full-on tropical storm. I was woken up by rain that was blowing horizontally through the cracks in the bamboo wall of my hut and straight into my face. For a second, I was confused about where I was, being woken up like that with the rain in my face and the sound of a roaring storm over my head. I could move away from the wall a bit so I didn't get more wet, and from there, just lie and listen to nature's violence ripping through the jungle around me. Thunderclouds were coming in from the ocean outside the hut, and flashes of lightning lit up the hut, coming through the cracks of the walls and the front door where the carpet was blowing around in the wind. I was sleeping in the nude, both because it was really warm, but also because being so isolated and alone, it didn't really make sense to wear clothes anyway. As I had lain in bed listening to the storm for a while, I noticed that I had to go to the toilet. It felt a bit urgent and quite heavy. I could hear raindrops the size of walnuts hit the outdoor bathroom, and I initially thought it would have to wait till the next morning when the rain had stopped. Then I realized that it might be one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. I gathered the courage to crawl out of the elevated bed and stood naked in the doorway, looking out on the toilet. I almost couldn't see it from the dense rain, even though it was just a few meters in front of me. The wind was brutal and throwing the trees above the bathroom around. It looked like they could snap any time, but I guessed that they had many storms in the area and the trees were still stood there for a reason. My short hair was pushed back by the wind. I was still a bit dry, but was about to change that. There was no need to run to the toilet. I would get completely soaked no matter what. And then I sat there, naked on the porcelain toilet with my bare feet on the small rocks and branches on the ground. The rain had drenched me in seconds, and I almost couldn't see out of my eyes. I was shivering, the trees above me were roaring, the wind was whining, and the thunder right over my head was as loud as a bomb attack. "Is this all you got?" I felt like shouting to the sky while raising my clenched fist. I was experiencing the ultimate rage of nature while taking a tremendous dump naked in the middle of the night in a Jamaican jungle. When I finally got back inside the little hut, I curled up in the fetal position on the bed with a towel around me, shivering from the adrenaline pumping through my veins from the powerful experience I just had. What a rush.